unanticipated functions of the public health workers responding to Hurricane Katrina. The role of public health in disaster response, these are the conceptualizations of our participants. I think what it became for us was public health was anything that people called us about. So you did whatever you needed to do to get the job done. So for background, in November of 2002, the CDC published Bioterrorism and Emergency Readiness Competencies for All Public Health Workers. And I thought it'd be useful to just quickly review those so that you can see some of the contrasts to what people, in fact, end up sometimes having to do. So the competencies are, first, describe the public health role in emergency response in a range of emergencies that might arise. Describe the chain of command in emergency response. Identify and locate the agency response plan. Always a good thing to have. Describe his or her functional role and demonstrate it in regular drills. Demonstrate the correct use of communication equipment used for emergency communication, assuming it's working. Describe communication roles in emergency response within the agency, the media, the general public, and personal. Identify the limits of knowledge, skill, authority, and identify key system resources to refer matters to when they exceed those limits. Recognize that unusual events might indicate an emergency and describe what the appropriate actions are. And finally, the catch-all, apply creative problem-solving and flexible thinking to unusual challenges within functional responsibilities and evaluate effectiveness of all actions taken. So, all right. So right now what we're going to talk about is really the health departments, the three health departments serving Louisiana and Mississippi. We explored what were the unanticipated demands outside of their functional responsibilities. Remember, previously we're talking about within their functional responsibilities. Well, these are some that actually started to fall outside of their functional responsibilities. So the first, I'm going to skip over the methods because we already talked about that. The first theme that emerged was providing of acute care, and that's in really three different areas. Acute medical care to patients in special needs shelters, and I'll explain that in a minute. Medical triage, and as our previous speaker said, mental health and substance use services in shelters became a pretty large issue. So a special needs shelter, for those of you who are not familiar with the term, and I wasn't when I started this study, public health emergency response in both of these states and probably in other states too, part of their responsibilities is to set up special needs shelters and provide supportive care for vulnerable citizens, ones that have chronic diseases but are generally living in home care settings. These citizens are expected to arrive at shelters with a caregiver, with 3 days' worth of medicines, clothing, and whatever else they would need. And these shelters are generally located within a larger general shelter, which is not the responsibility of public health, but the responsibility of departments of social services. And that's similar in both Louisiana and Mississippi. This is not an issue that we had in New York because we didn't have a lot of survivors, and the hospital system and resources in New York were so very dense. So providing medical care. So we went from being expected to take care of food and water and sewage to taking care of sick people in shelter, in a special needs shelter, to taking care of people in general shelters, to taking care of people in nursing homes, taking care of people in hospitals. Our role has expanded tremendously. Here is public health, who's normally giving out immunizations, taking care of STDs, taking care of environmental issues, having to deal with tracheotomies, PEG tubes, diabetes, dialysis problems. And they're trying to help figure out how to get the care for the patient, which is really beyond their expertise. Medical triage. I didn't get out there. This is the triage center at LSU. When they first opened, I went the next night, and when I got there, I flipped open my cell phone and I called my coworker and said, "We need help. It's unreal." So we pulled the regional administrator, who's a nurse, her emergency preparedness coordinator, brought them down here to get organized. We triaged over 40,000 people. At any given time, there may have been 5,000 people there. That's really inconceivable, but And lastly, providing mental health and substance use services. The addictive disorders people weren't around to help us take care of people with methadone, who were all in the general shelters and some in the special needs shelters and unable to get their meds. And the people who were chronically, psychotically ill and who obviously hadn't had their antipsychotic meds for days with them. Transportation of patients and supplies. I think there's probably more of that in these interviews than almost anything. It's really quite amazing how much that mattered. This is actually part of a story, and I left the person's name in because it's a story that so many people know. They didn't realize that Avis, this is an employee of the Louisiana State Department of Health and Hospitals, confiscated 10 buses and hauled people from the Superdome to Baton Rouge and then went back. Talk about a real unsung public health hero. People out there in the causeway and I-10 and bringing them back, telling the bus drivers, just hang in with me. I'm going to take care of you and your family. We put their families up here across the street. I don't know how many trips she made back and forth to New Orleans. So now I said, okay, let's kind of take a look at this warehouse. This was in the middle of, I was to be the liaison for setting up the DMORT, and one of my colleagues is going to have to tell me what DMORT exactly.
Disaster Mortuary Response Team.
Okay, Disaster Mortuary Response Team. And as I was doing some of that, also there was this warehouse being set up, and I thought this would be a better environment for those guys because we need to get supplies and equipment back and forth to places. We needed supplies and equipment to New Orleans. Now, this is public health workforce talking about getting supplies back and forth. So the next theme was recovery of the deceased. So mass fatality planning was the Office of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness, and their planning was that they would call in the feds. They would call in DMORT. And what we found out is that DMORT's trained to come in and take care of a plane if you lost 300 people, but they don't prepare for 1,000 or 1,500 or thousands. We've never been charged with the governor being the one that's responsible for picking up dead bodies and accounting for them and identifying them. Fire and police were devastated, so we looked to the federal government to do that. They were in contract with the group, but they couldn't contract for some reason, so our agency did. We were health and hospital, so the governor's office saw that as the agency that made the most sense. There's a theme here that there's the safety net ends up being public health over and over. As you see these different. So communication department here was not used to communicating to a population of people whose only means of communication was handbills. If you're in Jackson or the northern part of the state or nationally, you probably get perfect updates, but if you didn't have electronic means of receiving them on the coast, you didn't get squat. Assistance with food and housing. We were really the people to call if you couldn't get a line through. They found out our number pretty quick. And many times we would get calls that we knew weren't ours. It was like, if we could do something, let's do it. Was it our job to secure food on the coast and shelter areas? I don't think so. We went through chaos for the first 2 or 3 weeks. Debris removal. The Corps of Engineers was not allowed to remove debris from private property. We had a significant amount of property in which the landowner was not available. This is on the coast. So they wanted public health to come in and declare it a public health emergency so they could remove the debris. We were not going to declare a public health hazard because of a flawed policy. Another example would be medical waste, which is hazardous material. It's not a public health matter. So these are the kinds of things that kept coming in to the public health workers. So these are the lessons learned from the perspective of the participants. There's a need to build on relationships with community health and social service providers. So if you create relationships with your providers in the hospitals to get some of this care to people, that's less of the care you'll be responsible for providing when you're not qualified to provide it in the first place. I think probably training is how to plan. You're just thrown into these planning meetings, but no one ever teaches you how to plan. The wrong way to plan is generalities. The right way to plan is nitty-gritty detail. And that's the hard way, but that's the right way to plan because the details that take care of you are the ones that save you. So, you know, it was, I suppose, truly an opportunity to figure out how to be flexible and make decisions in a rapid fashion. With our main concern of food and water, medicine was less of a concern for us simply because we just had to make sure people were hydrated. This is a quote from the Superdome. So, some conclusions. Planning is essential, but there are always going to be limits to what you can anticipate. So you need to be able to adjust as you go along and to learn from each disaster. And I think we had an example of that earlier, of a lot of the lessons that have been learned already. While public health performed in an extraordinary manner, well beyond its areas of responsibility, there is a danger in filling these gaps of severely overextending the workforce in a way that limits their ability to perform the tasks that they're trained to do. The more you take on in public health, the more you put on your plate as the Department of Health, the more you become liable for expectations you can't deliver. Each of the unanticipated functions that have been identified here have, since the disaster, been carefully assessed by public health departments for alternative resources to assume these responsibilities. The limits of the health infrastructure in both of these states pose significant challenges. That's why public health is so important, because the health options are so much more limited than other parts of the country. So it's really essential to build in whatever community and private sector partners that you have to maximize the resources. And I will close with a quote I found in another disaster paper, which I thought was fitting. In preparing for battle, I've always found that plans are useless, but planning is indispensable, Dwight Eisenhower. So thank you very much. And now David will give you chapter 3.